This is Richard Howland Bolton for WCLV, and this is number 487, Plus Echange. My dear Americans, it will probably surprise you to know that I have actually spent the majority of my life so far in the States. 20-odd years. Well, actually 22-odd years and 20 even ones since I arrived and left in odd-numbered years. 42 years in total since I left Britain, and a whopping 54 since I left the Beckles of my birth. Now that I've returned, it certainly surprises me that, during that whole vast backward and abysm of time, absolutely nothing has changed back home. Let me read that again. It certainly surprises and indeed astounds me how absolutely everything has changed, mostly for the worse. The town of Beckles is now infested with affluent DFLs who roar about far too fast in cars that are far too big for our essentially medieval streets with their essentially Bronze Age sidewalks, and they've caused an explosion in the building of houses and apartment blocks on any bit of unregarded land and even in, God help us, actual housing developments, big ones. Unless the DFL label should confuse you listeners who are so far from the UK capital, it refers to those who are down from London. Or, as a proper Becklesian might say, "Good the hell, them damn buggies down from London!" And this influx has encouraged not only the building of buildings, but of bypasses. You know, the sort of large roads that surround a town, only to lure more and more cars into it, thus requiring more bypasses to pass by those bypasses in a never-ending sequence. And within the town, there has developed a depressing pandemic of hairdressers, both male and female and mixed, or possibly neither, interspersed with charity shops wherein second-hand items are used to raise money for charities. And if you think I'm exaggerating, note that today, as I walked down one of the more majorish streets, 6/10 of a mile according to my iPhone, and a bit wiggly according to the English fashion, and admittedly in the English fashion, changing its name from time to time, but essentially the same street joining the same two spots more or less directly, I counted 17-ish, hairish establishments. They were, in rough spatial order, the Istanbul Berber, Brown and Crew, and Mecca Hair Design, all in a bunch. Then, right next to Beckles Barber Company, a walk-in hair salon, presumably catering to impulse haircutting. A bit further along, and surprisingly, right on the corner, is the Corner Salon. Then there's the Blossom Clinic, which is an aesthetic nurse clinic, very strange and very, very pink. Right next door is Voss Hair and Beauty, which is neither. Opposite these is the rather prosaically named Hairstylists, setting themselves off from the crazier appellations. Then there's Red's Hairstylist right next to Emmanuel Barber's, who set themselves off with a dummy bearded guy that they dress up for the season. Then there's Couture Hair and Beauty, then Rogue Barber's, where no doubt you ask for a trim and they give you a mohawk. Then there's V1, Creative Hairdressers, as distinct from the previous, presumably destructive ones. Nicola's, Fleet's Barber Shop, and finally, Groomtastic Dog Spa, which I suppose only counts if you are very generous with your definitions. Almost no other trade survives. The only really big and local department-ish store of my youth is gone. And the only non-hair and charitable sector doing well is the optical, presumably encouraged by a quick glance at the driving habits of the DFLs. But all this horror is as nothing compared with the greatest, most horrible change of all, a change so great and horrible that it encompasses not just Beckles, but the whole country, a change that, it seems, I am the only one with the courage and audacity to speak of. We all know of the evil power and powerful evil of big oil, big coal, big pharma, big farming and the like. Few know the true depravity of big packaging. You know, the folks that brought you, and I speak here mainly to older listeners like myself who now need drugs for non-entertainment purposes, brought you those adult-proof, cunningly misbranded as child-proof caps and so-called security ceilings and wrappings of impenetrable durability to the container of every even vaguely health-related product. In the Britain of today, big pharma and big packaging have been overtaken. And now lie quivering abjectly in thrall to big blister pack. No medicines available here are provided in other than little cardboard boxes containing the vicious instruments of torture devised by big blister pack. And if you have struggled to open a bottle of Tylenol or the like, imagine how horrible it is having to force every single pill individually out of its own little blister in an adamantine sheet every morning or week or whenever the need drives you. These blisters being specifically designed so that anyone without the dexterity of a concert pianist who's also a prestidigitator and a weightlifter is put at a serious disadvantage. Indeed, I strongly suspect that blister packs are so named because you get blisters opening them. Consider a simple low-dose pain medication and blood thinner. Okay, baby aspirin. Each pill sealed into a mean little oubliette of its blister, that place of derelict grief. By foil and by some sort of film that is so strong that if you didn't need pain relief before approaching it, you certainly do after. This film is obviously a byproduct of the development of Kevlar, a substance that actually had to be rejected for being far too strong. Kindest regards, Richard Hallam Wilton. And of course, cheerio for now from me.